There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are very pleased now to talk to Ed Bell, commodity analyst at Emirates NBD, to look at the markets. And my goodness, there's a lot to talk about. Ed, good morning.
Good morning.
Don't know where to start, really. Let's start with probably the trade wars or potential trade wars that might be going on between Europe and China and the US. So I suppose go back one step. What are you making of this, the metals markets, really, in the wake of Donald Trump's decision to slap tariffs on steel and aluminium?
Yeah, so those tariffs finally came into effect on Friday after having been announced earlier this month in March. And I think the reaction from metals markets during the whole month has been a little uncertain and is starting to look more and more negative now. One impact is just the actual effect these tariffs on imports of steel and aluminium into the U.S. would have in terms of overall market balances. But then I think the corollary secondary impact is that if there is some kind of retaliation by a lot of other countries, which we've already seen from China, that you have a serious threat to global trade, and that could be negative for growth. So that's why we've seen most of the metals complex, when you look at, say, the base metals, copper, lead, aluminium, falling over the course of the week in response to those concerns pending about global growth.
The Commerce Ministry in China said China does not want to fight a trade war, but it is absolutely not afraid of a trade war. And Betty Wang, who's an economist at ANZ Bank in the Far East, said China's reaction was relatively mild. She said from China's perspective, it absolutely does not want to see a trade war. Coming back to the negotiating table is a relatively good result. So what would a trade war mean for the US dollar for the rest of this year? Obviously, that's one part of it that would affect us very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you had a serious trade dispute going between China and the U.S., and that escalated to severe disruption just in terms of the overall flow of goods between the two countries or the flow of services, and then China followed through on a threat we saw at the end of last week to slow down its purchases of U.S. treasuries, that could be quite negative for the U.S. dollar, particularly in a context where the U.S. Government is going to be increasing spending quite a lot and also cutting back on its corporate tax receipts with the tax reform plan. So all of these ingredients, so to speak, poise to being quite negative, I would say, if they all came to pass in terms of the dollar. We have a relatively mixed view on the dollar going out towards the rest of the year, differing against which kind of currency pairs you're talking about. But overall, we think that there's probably a little bit more slippage that might be on the cards in the near term.
I mean, one immediate winner from the comments last week was gold, sort of fulfilling its role as a safe haven, the price of which was up really about $34 over a couple of days as well. But what about the metal markets in general, particularly steel and aluminium?
No, those ones we think are going to be suffering quite a bit. I mean, as far as the global aluminium market, let's take that one because it does affect us here in the UAE quite significantly. The United States is not that big a player. Overall production there is really a fraction of global output, and demand is not really what it is in a lot of other big countries. Just for statistics' sakes, China is 50% of both production and consumption of aluminium. So what happens in China has a far more influential bearing on the course of the world and course of metal markets. But the kind of messaging that we're hearing from the United States about these tariffs is going to ripple through and feed into the market and raise questions that, well, if the U.S. is not necessarily as open a market to sell into, there's going to have to be metal that's going to find home elsewhere. And the way it's going to do that is by being price discounted. So it does have an impact on cheaper pricing. The UAE accounted for about almost 10% of the United States aluminum exports last year. So if there was, or imports last year, pardon me. And so far, we haven't seen that the UAE has been included on this list of so-called ally nations that have an exemption until May to come up with a new kind of deal with the U.S. as far as metal trade goes.
Let's talk about oil, Ed, because it's been a cracking week for oil. Brent crude hitting $70 a barrel again, and it seems like a perfect storm for oil. I mean, you've got Saudi Arabia talking about extending production cuts into 2019. You've got Goldman Sachs raising its forecast to above $80 a barrel. You've got US stockpiles falling. And then you've got the appointment of John Bolton as a security advisor to Donald Trump. He's seen as a bit of a hawk in terms of foreign policy. How do you factor this into your oil price forecasts?
Well, we very much thought that Q1 would see the height of oil prices this year. So a surge up or a short run tick up to $70 is not something that, from our forecast point of view at least, that we'd be too concerned about. But certainly all the factors that you point to there, certainly the comments from Saudi Arabia's energy minister about extending the deal into 2019, the fact that they are talking a bit more assuredly about the Aramco IPO, which I think a few weeks past the market had gotten a little bit concerned about, and the appointment, as you say, of John Bolton as national security advisor with what could be quite negative implications for geopolitics globally. He's very much kind of cut from the neocon cloth from the George W. Bush administration, and if those kind of policies were to be extended to the Trump administration, who knows, all bets would be off as far as the geopolitical risk for oil markets. But what we've seen with this president is that he very much determines his policy himself. So he could appoint, you know, the most hawkish and the most dovish person as advisors. Chances are he's not going to listen to either of them and come up with his own foreign policy that it's very hard for anybody to try and pin down.
So your oil price projection, or Emirates NBD's oil price projection, was $56 for this year on average. Ratings agency Moody's was even more pessimistic. They were saying 40 to 60. But in the light of that sort of crossing of $70, are you reviewing your projection upwards?
Yeah, we actually had revised it up a couple of weeks ago, actually. So we had forecast that on average in 2018, the Brent price would be about $60 on average, with the WTI, the U.S. benchmark, a little bit below that. So that had incorporated what we saw as a kind of unreasonable and ahead of fundamentals rally at the end of 2017 and into the first couple of weeks of this year. But still, when we look at the overall market balances in the oil market going out over the course of the year, we still see quite a lot of oil out there in the market and relatively well supplied, and probably leaning to more stock building in 2018 rather than big draws in inventories on a global scale.
So what does that mean for the economy here? Let's factor in a few issues. You've got interest rates rising in the United States. The Fed, the UAE Central Bank, raised rates last week. That tends to be, all things equal, bad for economic growth. But then you've got an oil price at $70 a barrel, which puts money in government coffers, and that tends to be good for economic growth in this part of the world. How's that factoring into your forecasts?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that higher interest rates are, all the things being equal, bad for economic growth. If you have interest rates rising for the right reasons, because the economy is growing and you want banks to be encouraged to lend more, then that's going to feed into higher rates. They're going to want to be able to seek out new opportunities in markets. So actually this year we expect to see across the UAE and across most of the GCC economies a recovery in growth in 2018 from where we were last year, where regional GDP was really kind of at the trough of the economic cycle that we see now, and that was purely down to the kind of cuts we're seeing from the OPEC-mandated production cuts. So we expect to see actually oil production increasing in a couple of countries, particularly Saudi Arabia, which had done more than its share of overcutting last year, so allowing for some increase in production. In the UAE's case, or the scale of production cuts has come down, or has expanded, I would say, quite a lot in the first 2 months of the year, so they probably have some room themselves to actually increase production but still remain compliant with the cuts over the course of 2018.
We've got 1 minute left, Ed. A Bank of England rate decision on Thursday saw a Monetary Policy Committee vote 7-2 to hold the rate at 0.5%. Do you think this makes a May rate rise almost inevitable?
Yeah, it makes it look very strong, and I think certainly the market was expecting that it was going to be a unanimous 9-0 decision to hold rates. So the fact that you had two voters thinking that the March meeting was an appropriate time to raise rates does suggest that there is a bit more hawkish thinking going on in the UK economy. Certainly the UK still wants to get control of inflation, which is among the highest in the developed countries, even though it is starting to come down. And the outlook for the Brexit negotiations looks like it's on a bit more of a positive footing, so perhaps giving the bank a bit more confidence about the economy holding on to the rest of the year.
Well, that is lovely to see you as always. Thanks very much for coming in. Edward Bell, commodity analyst at Emirates NBD.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.